if you would, open your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. It's actually chapter 2, I apologize. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. I'm going to bring a couple verses out, so just kind of follow along with me, and then I get a really good opportunity to call somebody up. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, right? But for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. So there has to be a believing, right, in order for the performing the work in us. But there was a reception that it was the word of God and not the word of man. It is the very word of our Creator given forth to mankind for us to know what does our Creator want us to know? What does he want conveyed to us? Now, if you'll turn with me to John chapter 1. It'll be John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word, so we just read about the Word of God, and the Word became flesh, so the Word of God put on flesh, and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. So it wasn't condemnation. It wasn't vitriol. It wasn't shame, embarrassment. We saw his glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. This undeserved favor, this mercy, this love and truth, something that you can depend upon, that'll never change. 2 plus 2 will always be 4. I know that some people in the world are trying to change that, but 2 plus 2 is 4. It's the truth. It's never going to change, and that's something that truth does. It never changes. It is that which is stable. It is that which is dependable. It is that which is consistent, and that's who Jesus Christ is. Now, if you turn with me to John chapter 14. So we have the Word of God. The Word of God became flesh, grace and truth, unmerited favor, stability, trustworthiness. If you turn with me to John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Do you want to know how to live life? You want to follow Christ? Do you want something stable and dependable and trustworthy and anchor for your soul? You better follow Christ. Do you want to have abundant life? You better follow Christ. And no one comes to the Father but through the Son. So my goal in bringing these verses out this morning is we have the Word of God. The Word of God became flesh, grace and truth. And then Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. He is the one that we follow. He is the one that we share as your evangelism pastor. So I get an opportunity to call someone up. I was thinking about this Thursday, and I said, I'm starting to feel like Bob Barker a little bit. And I said, but I'm not calling people down. I'm calling people up because we're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about the things of God, right? So, Ms. Niedermeyer, I'm sorry, but I got to call you up. I teed you up on this one, didn't I? I even was talking to her in the foyer. I didn't tell her I was calling her. I'm sorry. I might get in trouble for this one. I'm already in trouble. So we were at Mary Ann's.
Yes.
And you came up and you said, hey, when are you going to be at the church? Because you were ripping and running. We were ripping and running. And then you said, I need one of those Bibles. So we have the Bible ministry here that that if we meet someone out here in the world, and we feel like there's an opportunity to get a Bible in their hands, the Word of God. The Word of God became flesh. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we get that opportunity to give it to someone. We desire to do that. So we keep Bibles here as a way to minister to the lost world around us or a brother and sister in need, right? So what happened? Okay. You got to come over. Come on.
Okay. I'm not very good at witnessing around. I'm good at praying and trying to live life, but I don't speak up a lot. Okay. So I'm going to physical therapy and I'm minding my own business, and they have a new student there. Okay. A young fella, and he happened to be working with me that day, and they try and make conversation, and he said, "Well, what did you do this morning?" And I said, "Oh, well, I didn't do much. I just got up and read my Bible and came here." And out of the blue, because it doesn't often happen to me, he said to me, "I just started reading my Bible too." And I'm saying, "Oh God, what do you want me to say?" But anyway, so I talked to him a little bit, and he was talking about where he was reading and this sort of thing. And I thought, okay. And it was, you know, I was trying to get God to give me words. And so then I had him another time when I was there, and he shared with me that, yes, he was still reading, but he was only doing about 5 minutes at a time. But I said, that was okay. Every little bit helps, you know. And so then I said to him, "Do you have a Bible?" And he said, "No, I just read it on my phone." I said, "Well, okay, that's good." And then I'm thinking, you know, I'm an old-fashioned person. I like a Bible. So anyways, I thought about it, and more I thought about it, I felt I need to give him a Bible. I just need to. So that's when I ask you about a Bible. Okay, so his last day was going to be on Friday. I wasn't going in on Friday. I was going in on Wednesday, okay? And I didn't want to go in on Friday and make a big show of giving it to him, because everyone would look at me, "What are you doing here?" So I really prayed about that, and as God worked it out, he got the Bible to me before Wednesday.
Yeah, and I relayed it to Dan.
Yes.
And Dan was going to have to get it to you guys within time.
Right, exactly. And so they said, "They have my Bibles. Can you come over and get them?" Because they live real close. So I did that, and so I went over and got it. And so then I said to God, "Okay, let me do this in the way you want me to without making a spectacle," which I don't like to do. So sure enough, I went in that last day, and he said, "You're with me." I said, "Of course, God." So anyways, but it worked out very well. So I did give it to him. We talked a little bit, and he showed me on his phone where he was reading in Genesis about Abraham's second wife. And then he talked to, I said, "Well, that's very interesting." He said, "Yeah." And he made a covenant, and I'm going, "Yes, he did, you know." And then he mentioned the Trinity, and I'm going, "Oh, Jesus, this boy is hungry." So that was the last time I'll probably ever see him. But God did work out all the little details. And for me, this was like, "Oh, God, are you kidding? You want me to do this?" But I did, and God was glorified.
Because he was telling me he was fixing to leave.
He's done. Yeah,
right.
He's a student on that day. He was going to leave on Friday, and I was going to see him on Wednesday, mm-hmm. but I didn't want to go in on Friday because I wasn't supposed to be there, mm-hmm. and it would be obvious.
Yeah.
So, worked out.
Hopefully I'm not in too much trouble.
We'll see.
If you would, turn me to Galatians chapter 4. The more I was praying about this, and just really want to encourage you. And with my age, I think sometimes I kind of wonder, should I say certain things? And I have to wrestle through that, you know. But I just really prayed about it. And I said, you know, Lord, you called me to be a pastor, so I need to pastor. That's what I need to do. And so I want to give you a side note of encouragement through, as we're talking about this particular situation with Ms. Niedermeyer. So my mother-in-law went into the hospital this past week. She was in there for a couple days. And so Sammy and I were getting a chance to take Michelle back up there to be with her mom, you know, to have someone there. And so we're kind of in the parking lot and right there in St. Vincent's. And as I'm beginning to, we're kind of pulling in. And I said, okay, you know, we need to pray with mom before she goes in. And me being an evangelism pastor, And listen, a Christian in general, I don't believe there's anything that happens by accident. God is sovereign. Amen. Everything's an appointment. We've given our lives to the Lord. We're sheep of his pasture. We're sheep. We belong to him, and he places us where he wants to place us at different times. So even when some of you folks go into the hospital, I don't believe that's an accident. And I want to encourage you today that we're not a victim of our infirmities. I don't want you to think this way. I want us to realize, Paul tells us in Corinthians, we're overwhelmingly conquerors. Even though these bodies might be breaking down, a lot like I picture Paul, a lot like going into the prisons, the Lord might be taking some of us into some of these facilities, you know? And so in Galatians chapter 4, verse 13, he says this, "But you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time. It was a bodily illness that got me in front of you. It was a bodily illness that was even happening that I ended up in front of you in Galatia to birth this church, to plant this church. It was no accident. I remember as we were in the parking lot, I began to pray. And it was just like the Lord had just, he caused me to think of it this way. And as I just began to pray, I said, Lord, let us as Christians, not only our people, you, our people, but Christians all over this world, not see ourselves as victims of our infirmities. Let us not see ourselves as going into these hospitals as even though they might be working on our physical bodies, Lord, we're going in there wanting to watch you work on their spiritual. Even though the physical may be the ailment, and listen, there might come a time where you need to go in. So a lot like with Michelle and Daniel at different times, we were kind of waiting. We were like, okay, what's going on? And there was this one time, and I've shared many times, so I don't want to overbore you. But there was that one time Michelle got to the point where she couldn't hardly walk, and she was young. And so we're like, okay, this is serious. We need to go. We waited 3-4 days, and it was just getting worse. And at that point, I really realized, okay, we better go. Let's just see what's going on. And as we go in, they thought she had spinal meningitis. You know, so at that point, you know, we're like, okay, we're not sure. She's coming back out of here. And I'm going to be raising these kids by myself. So we get up about 2 a.m. into the hospital room. We get up in there at 2 a.m., and the nurse comes in and she starts asking us all the questionnaire questions. You know, are you doing this? And we're like, no. Well, we did about 10 years ago, 20 years ago now. And the lady goes, how did y'all stop? And we said, well, do you really want to know? Yeah. We said, Jesus. Jesus overcame all those things in our life. This lady starts pouring down tears and she receives the Lord right there. Right. And guess what? We never saw the woman again. Her son had recently gotten saved and was witnessing to his mother, and his mother received the Lord. I said, now you go out of this room, you call your son. I don't care what time it is. Call your son and tell him. So I want to encourage us. It was that bodily illness that brought Paul in front of those Galatians. I don't want us to see ourselves as victims of the infirmities in our lives. When these infirmities come in, God is sovereign and he's ordained everything in our lives. One, to bring us to him. Two, listen, there's things in our lives that are going to bring us to that place of brokenness and complete trust in God. That's a freeing place. It's not a scary place. He's getting us there. There's also opportunities that I want us to see. Like Paul would go into that prison. There might be times that we're going into these physical rehabilitation places, and they might be working on the physical, but we're going in wanting to see God work on the spiritual. These are still opportunities. In the world we live in today, because the medical field has grown so big, I think a lot of times we see ourselves as victims of things that come into our lives rather than, okay, Lord, this has come into my life. What are you trying to teach me and grow me through this? But also, as Paul would say in 2 Corinthians, in my weakness, he's made strong. So when I go into these places, don't let me go in as a victim. Let me go in as an opportunity to say, well, I'm kind of beat up today, so I'm coming in here to let you take a look at me. What's your name? How can I in some way look for an opportunity to be a blessing, a light to the world God's placed us in? I'd like to strengthen us in that, and may we walk in that freedom and walk in that confidence that our lives have already been redeemed by Jesus Christ. Not a hair of our head will touch the ground. We're covered. It's the lost world that needs to know him. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you, my hope and my prayer is, Lord, through this time is that we will not be victims of the infirmities in our lives in this world. No matter what it is, whether it's physical, whether it's situational, whether it's occupational, whether it's familial, no matter what it is, Lord, that we've given our lives to you and that you love us and that you know us. And if something comes into our lives, Lord, you've appointed it because you're sovereign. So through that, may we be transformed and conformed and purified, May we turn to you and rest in you. May we also realize that a lot like Paul, it was that bodily illness that brought me in front of certain ones, that these are opportunities that we get to go be a blessing because you've blessed us, Lord, to be a light for your name. So, Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunities that you give us. And, Lord, may you just strengthen us to see life differently through your eyes and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.